Lesson 7, the gospel. Number 1, the gospel is the most important part of the presentation. Letter A, at this point we have showed the person that we are all sinners. Letter B, that our sin has a payment, which is the second death or hell. Letter C, that salvation is the gift of eternal life, and as a gift it is free, which means we cannot earn it or work for it. And letter D, now we'll show them how the gift was purchased for us. Now we'll show them how the gift was purchased for us. So just a little background here. Number 2, what is the gospel? Letter A, what the word gospel means. Now we talked about earlier how the word gospel means good news and good tidings. That's true. But when we're talking about the message of the gospel, what is defined as the message of the gospel? In Isaiah 61:1, the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings." In Luke 4:18, this passage is quoted in the New Testament, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." So notice that the word gospel means good tidings, good news. That's what it means. But what is the gospel? Letter B. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, Paul said this, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Okay, so he's going to declare to us the gospel. What is it? "Which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." So notice you're saved by the gospel. "If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that..." So here are the three characteristics of the gospel. Number 1, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Number 2, and that he was buried. And number 3, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So according to Paul, what is the gospel? There is three characteristics of the gospel: that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. So the gospel means good news. The gospel is the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. If you turn the page there on page 29, the gospel is, number 1, the death. Number 2, burial. Number 3, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then letter C, the gospel is how our salvation was purchased. The Bible teaches us clearly, Acts 20:28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Notice, we have been purchased with his own blood. Galatians 3:13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." The word redeemed is defined as the word to buy back, to purchase, by payment of ransom. Revelation 5:9 says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." So we are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ through the gospel. So how this conversation may go when you are explaining this to someone. So remember, we were at Ephesians 2:8, and we explained it. Now, I don't want to give you too much information, but I want to give you enough information for you to understand how I do this. I explained Ephesians 2:8 by reading it and explaining the words. "For by grace," the word grace means unmerited favor, "are ye saved," saved's talking about being saved from hell, "through faith," the word faith means to believe, "and that not of yourselves." Notice, if you're going to be saved according to the Bible, it's not of yourselves. It's not something you produce. Why is that? Here's why. It is the gift of God. Then I used an illustration. Let me use an illustration to help you understand this. Let's say today was your birthday, and I was going to give you a gift. Let's say I was going to give you this pen. What would you have to do for this pen to become yours? They grab it. Now, what if I said, "Hey, I'm going to give you that free birthday gift. All you have to do is give me $1. Is that a gift?" No. Why not? Because you're asking me to pay for it. Exactly. You don't have to pay for a gift. What if I said, "I'm going to give you this free gift. You don't have to give me any money for it. All you have to do is wash my car." Is that a gift? No. Why not? Because you're asking me to do something for it. You're absolutely right, because a gift, by definition, is free, which means you don't pay for it, you don't have to earn it. And notice, the gift of God is the exact same way. Now, I read Ephesians 2:8, but I emphasize verse 9, "For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Does God expect you, according to this verse, does God expect you to work for the gift? No, he does not. Okay, we've explained that. Now, as I'm transitioning over to Romans 5:8, what I like to say to people, because remember, I'm going to use the gift illustration throughout the entire presentation. When I introduce the gift, I'm going to use it the whole time, pretty much. So now, as I'm transitioning to Romans 5:8, I say, "Hey, let me go back to this gift illustration. Let's say I was going to give you a gift. I'm the giver, you're the receiver. Who pays for the gift?" Notice, I'm not telling them who pays for the gift. I'm just asking them. Let me go back to this gift illustration. Let's say I'm going to give you this gift. I'm the giver, you're the receiver. Who pays for the gift? Everyone usually says, well, you do. I say, you're right. Okay, now let's say that God was going to give you a gift. God is the giver. And I like to point out, you know, God is the giver, you're the receiver. Who pays for the gift? They're like, God does. I say, you're absolutely right. Let me show you how God paid for the gift. In Romans 5:8, the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now notice, in this instance, I used the illustration at the beginning, and that kind of led into the verse and the understanding of the verse. Because before I even read the verse, I said, hey, let me go back to this gift illustration, right? Because I've already been used the gift illustration. Let's say I was going to give you a gift. I'm the giver, you're the receiver. Who pays for the gift? You do. Okay, let's say God was going to give you a gift. God's the giver, you're the receiver. Who pays for the gift? God does. You're absolutely right. Let me show you how God did that. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So at this point, you're there on page 30 in the Reveal the Truth. At this point, I'd like to take some time to explain the gospel, also to make statements and ask questions to see what the person knows and what they believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people take the position, and this is not my position, that we need to explain everything about everything. We need to explain to people creation story, Noah's flood. We need to teach them that Jesus went to hell. We need to teach them about the reprobate doctrine. We need to teach them every little thing that there is. That's not my position, and if that's your position, that's probably why it takes you 3 hours to present the gospel to someone. Because of the fact that, generally speaking, we live in a quote-unquote evangelized society. And what I mean by that is that not everybody's heard the gospel, but generally speaking, in the United States of America, every single person has heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying they believe in it, but they know who Jesus is. This is not Pakistan. So having to go through every little thing, in my opinion, is not needed. But you don't want to assume that people just know everything either. So at this point, after I've read, so I set up the verse, right? Let me go back to this gift illustration. I say I was going to give you a gift. I'm the giver, the receiver. Who pays for the gift? You do. Okay, what if God wants to give you a gift? God's the giver. You're the receiver. Who pays for the gift? God does. Exactly. Let me show you God did that. Read the verse. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then at this point, I say, I'm sure you've heard the story of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus was born of a virgin. Have you heard that before? Now, I'm going to ask a series of questions that most of the time people are going to say, yes, I've heard that. Yes, agree. And if they do, I just move on. But if they don't, then you're going to want to stop there and deal with those situations. Because this is what we were talking about, how to not get to the end and someone be like, no, I don't believe that. So after I read Romans 5:8, I said, I'm sure you've heard the story of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he was born of a virgin. Have you heard that before? People are like, oh, yeah, I've heard that. Oh, well, do you believe that? Oh, yeah, I believe that. The Bible says that Jesus was the Son of God, which means that he was not a mere man like you and I, but he was actually God in the flesh. Do you believe that? Yeah, I believe that. The Bible says that Jesus came to this earth and he lived a sinless life. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. And he died on the cross, not to pay for his own sins because he had no sins, but he died to pay for, and I'll just stop. I'll just pause for a second, and usually people just finish my sins, our sins. I'm like, yeah, exactly. Do you believe that? Oh, yeah, Jesus paid for our sins. And the Bible says that he was buried, and that 3 days later, he rose from the grave as a payment for our sins. Are you familiar with all that? Have you heard that before? Yeah, I've heard that before. Sometimes people are like, yeah, I grew up in Sunday school. I've heard that before. Okay, great. Do you believe that? Yeah, I believe that. Here's the thing. If I'm explaining to somebody, hey, Jesus was born of a virgin, he's the Son of God, he's God in the flesh, he's not a sinner, he died, was buried, and resurrected, and they're agreeing with me, then I don't feel the need to have to go to all these verses explaining the deity of Christ and the virgin birth of Christ and all these things. Now, if they're not agreeing with me, I'm like, hey, the Bible says he was born a virgin. Have you heard of that before? And they're like, I've never heard that before. Then at that point, I'm going to stop and take them to a verse that says, well, look, the Bible says he was born of a virgin. The Bible says that he was the Son of God, which means that he's not a mere man like you and I. It means that he's God in the flesh. Have you ever heard that before? No, I've never heard that Jesus is God. Okay, well, let me show you some verses about that. But if I'm asking these questions and they're just nodding their head, you heard that before? Yeah. Do you believe that? Oh, yeah, yeah, I believe that. If I'm getting all checks on all of those things, I'm just moving on. Because generally in our society, most quote-unquote Christian people or people that have been influenced by Christianity are going to give you yes. Now, if they're a Mormon, a Jehovah's Witness, a Hindu, you know, something like that, then they're not going to agree with those things, and then you stop there and deal with those things. So look at the little note there. Depending on their answers to the questions above, I respond differently. If they seem familiar with what I'm saying and agree, I continue. If they say something like, I didn't know that about Jesus, I didn't know that Jesus was God, I didn't know that Jesus was sinless, then I take time to prove those things. And then I've got some verses there for you just to be aware of. These are not verses that I use in my gospel presentation, but just for you to have them as references if you do need to go any further, explain the gospel even further if needed. So number one, the Bible says that Jesus was born of a virgin. Matthew 1, 23-25 is a good verse for that. The Bible says that Jesus was God in the flesh. Philippians 2, 6-8 is a good verse for that. Jesus never sinned. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 20-21 is a good verse for that. Obviously, there's other verses for this too. These are just giving you a proof text for all of these. Number four, the Bible says that Jesus died for our sins, Colossians 1:14. Number five, the Bible says that Jesus paid for our sins, 1 John 3:5. Number six, the Bible says that Jesus went to hell to pay for our sins, Acts 2:31. So no, at this point, I also like to read John 3:16 to them and to review the gospel. Let me just be clear about something. I don't think you have to explain all these things at the door. I do not explain the reprobate doctrine, the suicide issue, the Jesus going to hell. I don't explain those things unless they like specifically come up and I feel like they need to be dealt with. I don't explain that. In fact, I avoid explaining them if at all possible. And sometimes people say to me like, every door, Jesus going to hell comes up at every door. I'm like, no, it doesn't. If it comes up at every door, you're bringing it up. Because most people are not asking you about that. Most people don't know that. And here's the truth. People don't even have to know that to be saved. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Period. End of story. Now, I believe Jesus went to hell. But I just feel like sometimes we go on all these rabbit trails and all we're doing is making it harder for people to... Look, if you get somebody saved, then you show them anything in the Bible and they'll believe it if they actually got saved. Just be careful about going... You know, people are just always telling me like, the reprobate doctrine comes up every time. It's like, no, it doesn't come up every time. You're bringing it up every time. You're saying something or putting it into people's heads to where it's coming up. So just be careful about, let's keep things basic. And look, I believe all these things. I preach all these things. So don't walk out of here calling me a liberal. The reason you know these things is because I taught them to you, okay? So, but I'm just telling you, not all of these things are needed. So just be aware of not trying to make things too difficult for people in regards to salvation. So we go through this checklist. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm sure you've heard of Jesus Christ before, right? Yeah. The Bible says that he was born a virgin. Have you heard that before? Yes, I have. Do you believe that? Yeah, I believe that. Well, the Bible says that he was the Son of God, which means that he was not a mere man like you and I. He's God in the flesh. Do you believe that? Yeah, I believe that. The Bible says that he died on the cross to pay, not for his own sins because he had no sins. He died to pay for our sins. Do you believe that? Yes, I do. The Bible says he died, was buried, and he rose from the dead as the payment for our sin. Do you believe that? Yeah, I believe that. If they believe all that, then I just mosey on to John 3:16. I say, let me show you the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. And I like to explain this verse same way. I explain verses the way I preach the Bible, just explaining words, using illustrations. For God so loved the world, that's you and I, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever, that means anybody, believe it, that's the faith, in him, that's Jesus, should not perish. Here the Bible is saying that they won't die and go to hell by not believing in Christ, but have everlasting life. And then again, just take a moment to explain. The gospel is this. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. I'm using all of this as a review. And look, I think a lot of the times that we get to the end of the presentations and people are just like not getting it because we're not taking time to explain things. The gospel is this. What I've been showing you up to this point is this, that you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Our sin has condemned us to hell, but God loves us and he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. And he was buried and he rose from the grave as a payment for our sin. Do you believe that? Letter B, page 31, letter B. Let's review the importance of the gospel. Number one, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number two, the gospel is how we were redeemed, purchased, or ransomed from our sins. Number three, salvation only comes through preaching and understanding the gospel. Number four, the message of the gospel truly is the good news for mankind. All right, so let's go ahead and take some action steps, map out your verses there. Here's what we've showed people so far. We're all sinners. Our sin has condemned us to hell. God is the gift he wants to give us, his eternal life. Jesus died on the cross was buried and rose from the dead to pay for our sins. Okay, so if you're at Romans 5:8, right in front of Romans 5:8, write number 9, indicating this is the ninth verse you're coming to in your presentation. Right next to Romans 5:8, write John 3:16. John 3:16. And then when you go to John 3:16, write a number 10, indicating this is the 10th verse we'll go to in our presentation. And then next to or near John 3:16, you can write Titus 1:2. Titus 1:2. If you want to, you can write John 3:36. When we explain John 3:16, we're going to incorporate John 3:36 into that. But that's right there in the same chapter. The next place you're going to go to is Titus 1:2. So you can write Titus 1:2 near John 3:16. All right, so that is the end of lesson number 7, the gospel.